My first thought was that these must be American Navy men, and my heart froze inside me. How the devil had they traced me? Could I bolt? Not a hope. They knew their business too well. But I could bluff.
Wer ruft mich?
I demanded.
Was wollen Sie?
Don't come your Dutch on me, Mr. Comber, says the big one, and that settled it. They were Navy men, and I was done for.
You, nigger, give me that bag, he went on. Now, mister, we ain't gonna hurt you. You're the last man on God's earth I wanna hurt.
I gaped at him. I'm gonna put a black bag over your head so you don't see where you're going. Now don't fret yourself. You'll come to no harm. He slipped the bag over my head, and I choked in its coarse, muffled folds, panicking. But he took my arm and said, straight ahead now. Easy does it. Sick with fear, I started forward. I took innumerable turns at their direction until I had no earthly idea where I was. I heard a gate creak, and there was gravel beneath my feet. Then up stone steps and a door opened, and we were in a house. Up thickly carpeted stairs and along a corridor, suffocating with dread and astonishment. Knuckles knocked and a voice called.
Enter!
I was pushed forward. The bag was whipped from my head, and as the door closed behind me, I found myself blinking in the light of a great, well-furnished library. Behind a big oak desk, a little bald-headed man was standing eyeing me benevolently over his spectacles and waving a hand to an empty chair.
Pray be seated, Mr. Comber, and allow me to extend my most heartfelt apologies for the cavalier manner of my invitation. No one intends you the least harm, quite the contrary, I assure you. Please, do sit down, sir.
Who the blazes are you? I demanded. And what's the meaning of this?
Now that I was half past fear, I was prepared to be angry.
There now, that's exactly what I mean to tell you, if you'll only be seated, says he soothingly. That's better. A brandy, perhaps? Settling for the nerves, eh? Though I don't think yours are nerves that need much settling, young man, from all I've heard.
Well, I gulped a mouthful down.
Now then, Mr. Comber, says he, I owe you an explanation as well as an apology, so you shall have it. We have kept a very close eye on you indeed, sir, since you arrived in Washington, although I confess we lost you for a moment when you gave the good Captain Fairbrother the slip. He chuckled. Very neat. Of course, we quite understood.
This was bewildering, but I had my nerve back.
If you understand so much, you won't mind enlightening me. Are you American government?
He smiled.
No, although we have great influence and many highly placed friends in that same government, which, I'm afraid, has been embarrassing you lately with insistent questions. Naturally, you're in possession of what I believe one senior official called dangerous information, and Washington wants it. But you want to take it straight home to England. Perfectly right, sir. So you gave them the slip, and behold you tonight preparing to set sail secretly for Liverpool.
He hadn't quite got hold of the wrong end of the stick, you see, but very nearly.
Then would you kindly tell me, says I, why you have hauled me here at gunpoint instead of letting me catch my ship?
You would never have got aboard her, says he. The Navy Department want you, Mr. Comber, as a witness against those slavers, and the U.S. government wish to question you further about those certain names you have in your head. Slave trade names.
And suddenly his mouth was like a rat trap.
Believe me, Mr. Comber, the levee is well watched.
I smiled grimly.